Welcome back, everyone. Continuing coverage of day two of the NHL draft, of course, continues right here on WGR with that coverage brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Figo, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. Sabres have had a very active day. They've not made all of their picks, but they have made a number of them. And for more on that, we go to Joe Calley for a quick update.
Well, as you said, day two recap so far. In round four, pick 103, Matush Jan Kucharczyk.
There we go.
The center. round four, pick 116, Samuel Milosz, a goaltender, adding some prospects in the goalie room, adding some goalie depth there. And then earlier today, in round three, the Sabres selected defenseman David Bitkowski, another right shot defenseman. And the Sabres made a trade in round two, did not select at 39, Connor Clifton and the 39th overall pick. 39th pick in the second round, to Pittsburgh for Connor Timmins and Isaac Bolavo in return. That's your Paddock Chevrolet Sports Update. Paddock Chevrolet celebrating 90 years of being your hometown dealership.
All right, again, Zach Jones, Joe Calley, and Owen Parker hanging with you here today. We've been doing so since 11 a.m. It is 3:05 now.
It hasn't felt like it's been that long.
We're flying over here.
Yeah, I thought it was just me because I've had two energy drinks, and I'm like, I might be on a different plane of existence to the boys.
I'm right with you.
No, we're all cooking right now.
Flying towards another Sabres pick here at 1:35. So
I mean, it's been quick turnarounds. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. They didn't pick it in their second round pick, so it was a little bit of a wait for us there.
But
since then, it's been fairly quick.
Yeah, the trade was there to talk about, though. That was huge.
On that, I do want to mention that real quick, because I know Elliot Friedman did bring it up on the broadcast, and we saw it when we went to break. Mm-hmm. And it is something to keep an eye on, although he did mention, don't know how far this is going to go, but it's something to keep an eye on this week. Toronto and Las Vegas discussing the possibility of a sign-and-trade involving forward Mitch Marner. And Friedman puts in his tweet, the likelihood of that happening, hard to say, but talks have occurred and continue to do so. I see that. Number one, Toronto looks at that and goes, great, we actually can get something for this guy. We wanted to trade him to Carolina. He wouldn't waive his no-trade clause. Now we're looking down the pipe of getting nothing for a 100-point scorer. That's a tough pill to swallow. I don't care who you are. And for Las Vegas, I wonder if this is in preparation either to not have Jack Eichel in a year or as a pitch to keep Jack Eichel with you long-term. Because really, when Eichel got there, they had guys, don't get me wrong. They didn't have a face of the organization. They didn't have a guy that was going to go out and maybe compete for a Hart Trophy. Mm-hmm. They got that with Eichel. They could have that again with Marner. And in what has become an arms race out west,
that
could put them right back into the driver's seat again.
That Western Conference is deep. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Vegas adds Jack Eichel to go along with a player Mitch Marner to go along with Jack Eichel, that will be a dangerous, scary pairing of guys.
Darren Dreger also saying that as well. Talks are ongoing between Vegas and Toronto.
That is very horrifying to be on the outside of, especially, Vegas has continued to make playoff runs. Yeah, they're not successful to the Stanley Cup final this year, but they're always in the conversation, right? Because they are built deep. Adding Marner with Eichel, that does not sound like a... just listening to that as a Buffalo fan.
Good. Get out of the Eastern Conference.
Get out of the Eastern Conference. That is the good part about it, getting out of the Eastern Conference. But Jack Eichel and Mitch Marner's names being together and leaves a bad taste in the mouth.
I love how Vegas operates.
I do too.
I mentioned it in the last hour. I kind of want my sports teams to be a little bit of villains, really kind of irritate other fan bases. Vegas, after making the cup in their first year, basically got addicted to the drug that is winning, and they have decided, ruthless to a point of pissing everybody off, but they don't care.
I think they have gained a bit of a reputation in the league for being almost too harsh, too cutthroat, where I think there are some players that don't want to play there because of that.
Right.
Because they're scared of getting jettisoned by a team that really puts guys through the mill.
In a random trade that they're like, oh, this big player's available? Well, guess who's talking Vegas?
There's a lot to like about how Vegas just is pedal to the metal, full bore. But I think there is a time where this may come back to haunt them a little bit, both in terms of futures in the organization reputationally.
Well, and that's the thing. This could be bad on me, but I don't even remember a prospect for them.
Since Krebs, always traded away their first round picks or their prospects that they did pick.
By the way, we do have some bad news. Ryan Miller just went off the board. 130 to the Pittsburgh Penguins. So that is a guy I have been waiting for his name to go off. I was kind of quietly like, that'd be cool in the fifth round. There we go.
That would have been cool. I was on him early, but I figured he'd be gone by 135. I thought if they were going to take him, it was going to be at 116. So that's an interesting name to see off the board.
He even fell, to 130. That's crazy.
Vegas, though, is a team I'm constantly looking at. The Noah Hanifin trade was another one where it was just like they don't care. They're going to go after it. They're going to do what they're going to do. I've really liked what Montreal's done just as a sports fan. I really like that Montreal's tasted a little bit of success, 91-point season. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, I know our defense is cool. We're going to add to it.
Yeah.
I know our offense is very skillful. We're going to add to that.
They're less villainous, though, than Vegas. They're doing it in a different way.
Give them 5 minutes. If they win a playoff series, everyone's
– You think?
Everyone's old hatred for Montreal will come roaring back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But
you don't win that many cups in the 40s and still acknowledge it without people hating you.
Just dangling it in front of their face.
The Yankees fans don't get by. When they mention any of the World Series when, World War One was still called the Great War.
Okay, all right.
No.
Angels fan over there. Just a little bitter.
I don't acknowledge 0-2. I was alive, but I wasn't a fan.
Fair enough.
They have won. I just really didn't care for it because I was three.
Mm-hmm.
I think
you're allowed.
It for me, just as a outside observer, as a Sabres fan more than anything, right? I mean, Owen has the true experience to speak on stuff. But sitting here talking about this team, it's tough not to get somewhat excited, especially after the trade today, right? That has been a little shot of hope in the face of all Sabres fans. After last week and this beginning of this weekend, last night, that pick not being traded away, the pick, whatever you wanted, having it not go the way of a lot of Sabres fans want. I got to stop myself from getting too far in on this, though. That's where I'm at. And I guess, I don't know where you two are at, but I need to distance myself, and I don't know how other fans are out there either. Feel free to tweet in or call and let us know that. But yeah. Where do you two stand right now as we're motoring through the fifth round?
Well, I definitely think that they have done a good job of adding some pieces to the prospect pool here today that will help in the future. But none of what's going on today, aside from the Timmins trade, is a factor for next year.
Right.
So let's isolate. Now we've got to think about the Kesselring Paterka deal, and we've got to think about the 39th pick for Timmins deal. I like both of those two additions. Mm-hmm. I think Timmins is, I mentioned this earlier with Paul, the kind of high talent, former high round pick that Florida had kind of targeted the past few years to really add to their roster and take a flyer on a guy that hasn't developed the way they were expected to and take the chance that maybe in your organization they'll be able to thrive. And I think that Kesselring and Timmins both represent that, and that is, I think, really smart and prudent to try and get talented players that may not have developed the way they had wished. Timmins, we talked about earlier, had the injury history. Mm-hmm. I think that plays a major factor. Yep. I think Kesselring has been developing really nicely and just is about to pop. I hope he pops with the Sabres the way I'm honestly expecting and hoping that he will. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can help but get a little excited about what they've done the past few days. And that's a really interesting shift from, I think, how everybody was feeling recently. I don't know how you have been, Zach, or what you're feeling now.
It's been bipolar, to put it lightly. Mm-hmm. It's gone from, I didn't really know outside of Kesselring who they kind of got in that. And we haven't even brought up Josh Doan. We can talk about that here in a little bit, because I know you've wanted to mention him.
Yeah, I'll absolutely get into Doan a little bit.
But it went from, okay, like they traded Paterka. You kind of felt that was coming after Adam spoke in his pre-draft availability.
Right.
He kind of veiled it a little bit, but it felt like, okay, he's gone. And it was like, okay, I mean, the value isn't great, but they got two good players. And then the next day it was, Bo Byram's market might be great. It might also be garbage, and we don't really know what it is. And that trade all of a sudden became massively important, if it even happens at all. It's been back and forth for me. I like today. I like the trade they made today. The blue line continues to get better. It's really been the calling card of this, not only going to be the team now, but just of this early off season. It's really what they've aimed for, is right shot defensemen that are bigger, meaner. That's what they want to go do. Kesselring is fast as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're gearing up to not have those issues like they had last year. And we mentioned it. They are not that far off. If they get better goaltending and they're better on the blue line, the power play can be what it was, and they still probably make the playoffs. We'll worry about that.
Yeah.
But the problem has been for me now where you had one kind of opening in the top six forward group, you now have two.
Right.
And while, look, I like Ehlers and everything like that, and that could be something that they add on Tuesday. I just don't know if they've convinced enough people that, like, you can bring them in. And I don't know yet if they're going to be a team that's willing to spend big money to do it. So right. That's where I'm like, I'm really looking at the trade market trying to get that done.
Yeah.
And I just don't know. I'm at an impasse with the Sabres where I want to get excited, but they have burned me a number of times in very
toxic
rapid
success.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think as the Sabres are on the clock here, just for everyone's information, at pick 135, mm-hmm. we'll keep you updated who they go with here. I think, to me, it all now hinges on what do you do to fill any of those top six roles.
And we get another defenseman, Noah
Laberge. Let's you know, we'll do some pronunciation.
I'm gonna be honest.
He was at the draft. Good for him.
There he is. He waited it out.
Good
135. Look at that.
Fifth round guy hanging out, still in his suit.
I think they invited like 100 guys too, so he might be ranked in the top 100 or something.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
If they get another, I mean, I've seen that the last few picks too. The value wise has been very good for the Sabres with the picks. I'm excited to see his measurements. Do you have him up?
Yeah. Okay. So this is a different mold defenseman than we've seen the Sabres go with today so far. He's a much more mobile, sort of two-way puck-handling defenseman. He's very smart on the blue line,
mm-hmm.
and he is really good defending the rush I've seen. There's a lot of patience in his game, both with and without the puck. I really like the way that he is able to sort of transition the puck right up the ice, and he's comfortable carrying it. He's comfortable distributing it. I'm glad to see them pick a different sort of profile here in terms of we're not adding another massive brawler D. I don't think you need to do three of those guys in a draft.
Yeah, right.
Especially when I read down the list earlier, they've got a lot of that now.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this pick. He's pretty young, October 9th, 2006 birthday. So he's 18 years old, and I like this player. He was ranked higher than he's been picked by a lot of people here. I've seen him in sort of the mid 115 area, somewhere like that. We got him a little later than I think he was expected to go. And yeah, I mean, he played 63 games last year for the Arcadia Bathurst Titan in the QMJHL. He had 12 goals, 23 assists for 35 points.
I love these team names.
6'1", 187. So not a small guy, just not on the same level as the two defensemen we've seen the Sabres target in this draft so far.
And you've mentioned, though, it's probably a good thing. You don't want to overload on one kind of guy.
Well, it's like they only have left-shot defensemen right now.
Right.
They active on the roster.
And he's a lefty, too.
Okay.
So.
But they've gotten enough right shots prospect-wise where you could kind of start going back to the left shot.
Yeah, I think you can now even comfortably get into those left shot D again.
Yeah, I'm reading here, elite prospects, funnels the puck carriers to the outside, anticipates movements really well, active stick to cut passes. Yeah, he just, like you said, it sounds it's a different type, but it sounds like he, you know, it's a good offset from what they have.
Yeah, not super flashy necessarily. Mm-hmm. He's not going to wow you a ton, but he's smooth, he skates well, can move the puck around, and he's a modern-day defenseman. There's all these kind of guys that are big enough that they're not going to get dominated when they get down low by bigger power forwards, and just good retrieving, good transitionally, moves the puck. This is the kind of guy that you see a lot of in this range of the draft. This guy could be the same as any number of puck-moving mobile defensemen that we'll see picked in this sort of round 4, 5, 6 range, just because that's a really valuable resource to have.
Yep. We do have a little while now to the Sabres pick again. Again, they pick there at 135. They don't pick again until the sixth round, 167th. Overall, so we got a little bit of a wait here, but they have been turning through the picks now, really since kind of the day began. I mean, they took a little bit to get the second round going, but once it got going, we were firing through picks really, really quickly.
Yeah,
only got four more left for the Sabres today. Again, that one in the sixth round, 167th, and then three in round 7, 195, 199, and 219.
Yeah. Well, listen, it has been moving at a fast clip, but I can't really complain. I feel like prospect-wise, they're doing what they need to do. And we talked about it a little earlier today. They're kind of going about this like their seats are cold, the Sabres front office.
Yeah, I would
and
agree with
I'm
that.
Kind of it, now even more. A lot of these future prospect picks, it's even more apparent, I think, that they know in their heart of hearts, right? I'm not saying it's going to happen or we think it's going to happen, but I think in their heart of hearts, they think they're going to be able to breach the playoffs this season with the additions they made today, last week, and whatever else they have planned, because Byram is still that rumor out there. Like, what are you going to trade Byram for? They've gotten the right shots to fill his spot. So, you know, it's not over.
That trade might wait now, because you're right. Like, they've got maybe that right shot group that they want to have going in.
Yeah.
So now they may wait to see the first wave of free agents go, okay, now what are the offers? Now what are people looking for?
And who's still available on the market now?
And I will say, and I'm probably going to get bit by this, I've liked the fact that they've made two trades in, what, 3 days, 4 days?
Mm-hmm.
And they've been pretty, it seems like, impactful trades. It's helping to build up the blue line. It's helping to put them in a somewhat secure position with that group to help them kind of make that be sort of the front line way that they're going to have as a team. They're going to build through the blue line, it seems here. And, you know, maybe if it is something like, let's say, on Tuesday, just for argument's sake, they do add a Nikolaj Ehlers, and he comes in as one of their top six forwards, then all we're waiting is for the Byram trade or a Samuelson trade or what have you. Like, all of a sudden that could lead people to be very excited for a team that, you know, has had an issue making moves in recent years and has put people into a point of thinking that maybe nothing will happen, potentially with the move today and just maybe what the market will look like for defensemen.
Right.
You could see that happen. I mean, look at here. I mean, we're already wondering about the Byram market because Noah Dobson's already been moved.
Right.
And so if all of a sudden we wait for the first wave of defensemen to be signed in free agency, now all of a sudden does it become like, all right,
now you're
who's available? We've already thought about that about the forward market with Mitch Marner. He gets signed. Okay, now Brock Besser. What's he going to get?
Right.
What's
exactly.
Marchand going to get? The we already saw what Bennett got, you know.
Yep. And there's going to be a lot of sticker shock this summer with free agents due to the cap rising.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to get even crazier, I think, because of the reported rises in the next few years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's like $10 million bumps.
Well, they're out of the COVID stuff now, right?
Right.
So they're actually able to chunk it.
Escrow's caught up so that they're able to infuse some more money into these teams. And I think you're going to see some teams reach on value because they have a little more room to play with now.
High risk, high reward.
And
that's what they're going to look
exactly.
at.
Exactly. And so what are you going to get? Are you going to be able to capitalize on that? Are you going to what are you looking to add? Is Ehlers the priority for you? I
think you
certainly
be.
Like to see that.
That
I
should
really
be the priority.
just like he to me is an upgrade on Paterka in almost every way.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a little more productive. He's a little older. He's a little more responsible. Not that he's great in his own end, but he doesn't get, you know, bulldozed like Paterka did.
Yeah.
And so if you're able to replace the Paterka production, infuse the size and speed you've infused into this decor, at that point, your only question remains in the net. And if you can get a performance out of one of Levi or UPL,
with an improved defense, right?
Or add somebody, you're in really nice shape.
Mm-hmm.
You really are. You've got a nice, nice group there.
Mm-hmm. The losing theme of inactivity from the last few seasons, if they're active like they have been, they clearly took that to heart and are trying to get on the other end of that. Because you've heard Kevin Adams himself admit it in these press conferences, specifically about the 13-game losing streak, inactivity. They've been active. And I think they will continue to be through free agency. They have to be. And I think they know that. That's the big thing. They know they have to be to keep their seats cold.
There is a bit of an update on the Vegas-Toronto situation. Elliot Friedman doing the whole hockey reporter thing. We're going to start reporting kind of details, and then randomly it's going to explode. I'm fully imagining we're going to have a Mitch Marner trade today.
It sounds like that's developing here. It sounds like Nick Waugh is heading the other way from Vegas.
Yep.
If the deal goes through, says Friedman. So we'll keep you updated on that.
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting story to watch.
It literally seems like one of those trades where it's like, we're just going to get this piecemeal and then it's just going to pop.
Right.
At one
it's
going
to all kind of come as a.
He did also make mention that they tried to trade for Rasmus Anderson this week. Couldn't get it done. I mean, so Vegas being very active, unsurprisingly, as we've mentioned.
as always.
As always. I mean,
listen, they have a winning product, however it is.
I think Friedman even mentioned, though, that like it was the Islanders, Buffalo, and Vegas were the three teams he was paying attention to last night. So like there's probably been rumblings about this whole Toronto Mitch Marner trade thing since then. Buffalo, as we know, they made a trade today. We know through reports, have been fielding calls about Byram. So, like, I'm also kind of waiting on that, too. I mean, like, we could be here till 5 o'clock tonight, and I really, until we're off air, I'm going to be wondering about a Byram trade. I'm going to be wondering about it really until it happens or it doesn't. Until they're done for the offseason, I'm going to be thinking it could happen because they do now have an influx of defensemen that could play in the NHL. That being a big part of it is just, like, with these trades they've made, especially with some of these guys that are RFAs, you're like, okay, you have a lot of guys, and one of them seemingly doesn't want to be here and might be your most attractive trade piece. We will see if they can get that done. I mean, they could always go back to Pittsburgh as well. Brian Rust has been a name that has been brought up openly with the Sabres. We brought up Ehlers a lot for free agency, but if they could somehow get back to the table with St. Louis for a Jordan Kyrou trade,
that'd be huge.
That's somebody. If you could, and again, I know what team we're talking about, but please, please be kind. If you could all of a sudden add Ehlers and Kyrou along with the defensemen that you've been able to add.
Playoffs.
That becomes the expectation, I think, very quickly again.
Well, I think the expectation should be playoffs regardless of what happens.
I agree. But are we being realistic about it?
Right.
You add those two, it's like, okay, now we are.
Yeah.
Right. It's exciting. They have an opportunity here to really make a shift and – if they continue this trend that they've had these past couple days of aggressive moves to try and improve now, it's encouraging.
Yeah, absolutely. It is very, very encouraging. We are going to take a quick timeout here as the Sabres not back up again until 167 overall on the clock right now. Calgary at 144. Zach Jones, Joe Calley, and Owen Parker hanging with you here on day number two of the NHL draft. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. We go now to Sabres fifth-round pick Noah LaBerge speaking with the media.
And he really, like, softens a bit, you know, when you talk to him and a lot of that. And if you really work the right way and you do all that he asks, you know, he's going to be really fair to you. He's a really tough coach, but he's so fair. Like, if you give it all on the ice, he's going to give you all the minutes you need, all the time you need. So, yeah, he's a really great coach for me, and he's been there for me and my development in the past 2 years.
You ever look up any of his old videos from when he played?
Yeah, a little bit of his fights. We watched that a lot this year with the team, yeah.
Appreciate it, Noah. Thank you.
Any other question for Noah, guys? All set?
All right, and we're back. That was fifth-round pick Noah LaBerge. Now we are waiting for round number six to begin. The Sabres will be picking, I believe, early in round number six at 167 overall. Let me check that real quick.
That's correct. 167.
Yeah, 161 begins round number six. So they'll be picking early in round six.
This is flying.
Then they'll have three picks in round seven. But yeah, it's been flying. This should probably be done around 5 o'clock, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So all the fears that it was going to take
27 hours. Yeah. And then when we did the math.
Those have gone very quickly. Now it's becoming really, in the NHL world, the trade market, namely led by the rumored workings of a trade and sign of Mitch Marner going from Toronto to Las Vegas. That would put a little bit of a damper on the start of free agency. I know he wasn't expected to sign right away. On July 1st, he was expected, by all reports, to take his time, go visit cities, the whole thing. I mean, really kind of drag this out, understandably so. Yeah, it would kind of kill me a little bit. Not even because it's Vegas, just because I want a little bit of the excitement. And right. Just be like, nah, Vegas just jumped ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
It
would be pretty disappointing if we never got the, tracking Mitch Marner's flights.
Right.
Like,
I want to see fan bases losing their minds.
Tracking the flights. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that we're going to miss out on that if this Vegas trade comes to fruition here. But I've always thought it would be smart of Toronto to try and get something in return for Marner, seeing as how you're losing such a valuable asset to free agency and not really gaining much back for him. And
it does appear they tried to, and it just Marner wouldn't do it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, the Marner, that whole saga has been a really interesting. It almost runs parallel in some ways to the Buffalo thing where everybody wants out. not everybody, where players continue to declare they want out in J.J. Paterka and Jack Eichel and all those guys, where there's different reasoning, but sometimes guys just need to leave and they need to find a new place to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that obviously as Sabres fans, we've been exposed to a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks, but it does happen and you can recover from it. And I hope to see the Sabres starting to really build and get away from that whole stink. And I like the moves they've made today. I like a lot of their picks today. I like the trade they made today. And so it's encouraging, and it can feel difficult to get excited about them. But I think I'm pretty excited about them right now.
It's more of a glimmer of hope that's starting to just imbue a little bit. You know, that's kind of where that's where most of it is. But I guess heading into round six, Owen, to crack open the notebook.
Yes.
Like, what are you looking for anyone specific? Anyone really popping off the page at you? Or?
So at this point in the draft, you're looking for attributes that you feel you're missing in your pipeline. So considering what the Sabres have added in terms of big, heavy, right-handed D, I would anticipate them looking for a little bit more light skill maybe that could pop later in the draft, maybe another sort of hard-nosed forward that plays a little bit more of a mean game, maybe a really big, heavy forward, power forward type is something maybe that they'd like to add. They've added a couple of responsible center and wingers today, but not anybody sort of imposing and violent like we've talked about with the two defensemen that they've picked so far. So I think we might see something in that vein. They've taken a goalie. I doubt they take two. It's pretty rare that you see that. This was around where I would anticipate that normally, but they select Milosz at 116 instead. So it's going to be interesting. At this point in an NHL draft, you are throwing darts, and that is what we're watching. I mean, there's certainly some interesting prospects, but nobody this late in a draft is going to be, I'm in love with this.
Yeah, you're not banging the table going, they got
all
they got
those guys are gone. Mm-hmm. They're so young. You don't know what you're getting. So at this point, you're betting on attributes.
Only the sickos will be like that.
I think even the draft circles are like, I've heard of this guy one time.
Exactly. Yeah. That's where I'm going to be at with a lot of these guys. Like, I've done all the work here, but there's just not some of the Russian guys you can't even watch. It's just, it's tough.
That was what I was going to bring up too. Is this where we get to a point where some of these teams are like, hey, this guy would be like maybe a first round grade, but he plays in the KHL and he might not be here for 5 years.
Yeah, there's definitely some of that we'll see of guys that maybe have point totals. You're like, how is he going in the sixth round?
Yep.
But he's his third draft year or plays in somewhere with a contract for the next 4 or 5 years. There was a goalie. The first round goalie, I believe, that had that exact issue where he's locked into being Russia for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I think his contract goes till 2030. And and you're like, oh, man. Now some of these contracts have loopholes. Demidov for Montreal was that guy. But other times it's like, no, he'll be there for 4 or 5 years and may actually never come over. I know Kirill Kaprizov was one of these guys, obviously from a number of years ago from Minnesota. He's a fifth round.
Panarin, even farther back than that, for Chicago was one of those.
Where, the skill is there.
Right.
He just literally may never suit up for you. Alexander Mogilny, who's going to be a Hall of Famer, was just elected to the Hall of Fame. That was sort of a dart throw by the Sabres. He probably will never come here. I mean, the story is famous now for risking the lives, him defecting the whole thing. But first round talent, probably never coming to play the United States. So he's taken way later. But then he comes here and he's great from the word go. And then, as we mentioned, Panarin and Kaprizov, some of those other guys as well. Matvei Michkov probably would have been one of these guys too. It's why he didn't go second overall. It's because people just thought he'd have to wait 3 or 4 years to get him. You're not supposed to do that with somebody you're going to get first or second. Instead, Philadelphia gets him. He has one of those contracts that you can get out pretty quick. And now Philadelphia, arguably has one of the young faces of the franchise for them that they can really build around. That Danny Briere can, I think, really keep his job safe a little bit here to build around Michkov, get a fair shot with that. We're on pick 154, Pittsburgh back on the clock. I feel like Pittsburgh's been on the clock a lot today.
They've been popping back and forth, I feel like.
Well, yeah.
Whenever we kind of look up, it's just there.
I look up and I see the Penguin. every time.
Well, they are in a stage of their existence right now where they need to be picking a lot of players. Just get as many, you know, lottery balls in there as you can get and see who works out. So that makes sense to me that they're definitely trying
they're
to stay
up there all the time.
Yeah, picking guys and just adding to that pipeline that's been so depleted because you've had, you know, when you've got
Crosby.
10 years of Crosby Malkin. Mm-hmm. You're not
picking.
You're not holding on to a lot of picks.
I remember sitting around my fifth grade like lunch table talking about Sidney Crosby. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's just like they're still
been here forever.
They've been there forever, and I mean,
and he's still awesome.
Yeah, he's still he has not still waned. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's fun. You feel for him sometimes though because he's just. That team is not going to be any good.
He won his cups early. You know, looking back at his career, now that we're in the swan song kind of era for him, he won a lot of his cups. He won a lot early. I mean, you look at the gold medals for Canada as well. I mean, like he won a ton early, and then it became the sort of grind fest for Pittsburgh of like, hey, they're not really that good, but they're never going to be that bad because of Crosby and Malkin and Letang and even really the whole team is very, very good. But now the last few years, it's been a lot like the Detroit Red Wings from a number of years ago when they were keeping just the streak alive. Just anything that they could do that, ruining prospects and development just to keep it alive. Pittsburgh has sort of just tried to keep the Crosby years going, keep the positive vibes going. Doesn't matter if we're going to lose in round one of the playoffs and not even look competitive, we're going to keep going. And now the bottom has fallen through. And I do wonder if Kyle Dubas, if Pittsburgh itself has the stomach to trade Crosby to really hit the reset button.
They absolutely
should, both for Crosby and for their own organization. I think when Dubas got that job, there was a lot of – What are they bringing him in to do? And I think it was kind of a two-phased plan for Dubas in Pittsburgh. And I think the first phase was let's see if we can't get in and make another couple runs at this thing with Crosby, Letang, and Malkin while they're still here. And then Dubas is I think with the way that Fenway hired him and how much money he's making, he's going to be there through the rebuild to sort of shepherd them into their next era. I think what likely happened is he got a directive from ownership. Don't get rid of these guys yet. We want to just see if they can do a couple more years and get in. And then once it's time, we'll let you rip it down and build it back up. And, you know, whether he truly gets to see that vision through, we'll see. Very rarely does an NHL GM get to start and finish a rebuild.
Yeah, but very, very rarely.
They have compensated him in a way that would indicate that they want him to do that.
I think I remember, too, when he first came up from Toronto, because he was coming from Toronto, there was this belief of, like, he's just going to swing for the fences.
Right.
Especially because that's how his tenure in Toronto ended, which was, we're going for it. With this core, if I go down with them, I go down with them, but we're going to go for it. And I think that was maybe the belief that they're bringing in Dubas to just do everything they can one more time. I think they kind of did, but I'm more with you. I think it was more like a, let's see what we've got here, but let's also keep one eye on the, hey, these guys are also in their late 30s.
Right.
We should maybe be preparing for the years after. And for Pittsburgh sports fans, I think in totality, they just kind of went through this with Ben Roethlisberger
where they kind of rode this out
to like where he literally couldn't play anymore, and it was bad.
Yeah, we'll get over 500. We'll make the wild card kind of a deal until it was over. That's what it was.
I don't know that Crosby will ever look as dilapidated as Ben Roethlisberger did at the end of his career. I think Crosby probably has too much pride to ever get to that point and still try to play.
I remember he played the Chiefs in that wild card game, and that was just, man.
It got ugly.
That was super fast. And so, I agree, Owen. I don't think he's ever going to be as dilapidated and just really kind of a hindrance to the roster.
Right.
But it could be one of those that, like, for the future plans, having those guys, it may just be more sound to be like, guys, you've been wonderful here. We love you dearly. But we need to think about the future of this organization. We are going to trade you for high-end prospects because – well, the rumor was Colorado last night where they had to straight up squash it. They're not doing it with McKinnon on Instagram.
Right.
You know, you do wonder, though, if, like, come January, it's one of those, like, hey, guys, like, People are calling you to be a mercenary. Go try one more time somewhere else. We're starting over. Thank you so much. And try to leave it with not bad blood, but also doing what's best for the organization. I think that was a big reason why Pittsburgh, the Steelers, wouldn't move on from Roethlisberger. And that's a different animal, too. I mean, Roethlisberger would go on his radio shows and call out teammates. You do anything to that man, I would imagine you'd call him out. I do not see the same with Crosby or Malkin.
No.
But would you want Crosby, say, in Buffalo, if that ever came around?
Oh, my God.
Of course. Yeah. I think if you're an organization either A, trying to win right now, or B, kind of bring up a young core, there's no better guy to ever learn
just
from
add
than
in
Sidney
there.
Crosby.
Yeah.
I mean, but I feel like that's a bit of a pipe dream.
I'm really just waiting for Florida to trade for him in January. That's kind of where I'm at.
If he plays somewhere else, my guess would be Montreal.
If he leaves in free agency or something like that, Montreal
would
go home. Yep.
Or even if he gets traded, I think.
Oh, you know what? Now
Dubas would kind of send him wherever he wants to go.
Yeah,
you know what? Now,
purely
looking at Montreal too, and what they've done, they might also be in the mood to be like,
that's
you
exactly
know what?
The second archetype I just mentioned.
Yeah.
A young team trying to bring up their core needs a veteran.
Montreal might be in the appetite. That's a thing too.
They've
leaned away from what the Canadiens have become almost famous for, or infamous for a long time, which was like you needed to be a very specific prospect for them to want to bring you in. But Crosby would be back to that of like, well, actually, he's kind of from here, so we're going to bring him back.
He's a local guy.
And that could be a really fun – I'd hate saying it, but like that could be a fun thing for Montreal. It's like with this young core, this new core we've got, but we're also going to bring in an old guard guy that, while never here,
his swan
is from here. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and let him go out on his terms.
Play for the local team kind of deal.
They would have a shot with the way they're building that team. They would have a shot with him on their roster. It's kind of crazy how
that would be a lot of fun, actually. As a hockey fan and just genuinely liking the stories, that would be a really cool situation if that could happen.
You'd look back in the history books and look at that one and be like, how did anyone let that?
That's my thing. You know? I was rooting. I knew the analytics hated them, but I really wanted to see Washington win the cup or go on a cup run this year because I loved the storybook ending potentially for Ovechkin of like a guy that couldn't win cups forever, couldn't even make runs, would constantly get stopped in the second round to win one, break the goal scoring record, and then win one that year. Right. I thought would have been beautiful.
Storybook,
Yeah, if Crosby now could go from he won a ton early in Pittsburgh, then had to kind of, you know, trudge through the mud for a number of years with the Penguins, but then gets traded to Montreal and goes on to win a cup for his boyhood club. I mean, that'd be really, really cool.
Be awesome.
803-0550, the number to call. We've got just a little bit more here until the Sabres back up. We are at pick number 160. They pick in 7 picks at 167. So we'll be back after a quick timeout. This is WGR. Continuing to roll along here on day two coverage of the NHL draft. Zach Jones, Joe Calley, Owen Parker with you here. We've been with you all day, so I hope we haven't gotten boring. I hope you don't hate us now. Owen may have broken something. It's fine.
Yeah, apparently my boom mic almost just snapped in half.
This one I've had to keep tightening all day. It was about a drop on me.
I watched Jeremy messing around with that thing every day. It's a battle over there.
I was gonna say Mike does the exact same thing. He also thinks it's collusion against him. I think it just might be the mic stand.
It's collusion.
It most certainly is.
It's the mic stand.
The boogeyman loosening it.
We've got two more picks until the Sabres are on the clock. We're at 165 now. The Sabres pick at 167. And then they've got a lot of picks in round 7, but they come real quick. 195, 199, 219. And even now, I mean, we were joking about it in the break there. We get on one conversation, 10 picks have happened.
Yeah.
And our conversations are not that long. They're 10, 15 minutes. Right. No,
if that. And honestly, round 7, that's going to be more just rapid fire emptying the clip, you know? So that's what that's going to be.
That's just every GM in the league is throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing if they can find a name with the noodles.
I wonder especially
seeing what sticks.
Yeah. You know?
Especially knowing that like 26 teams voted. We're like, oh yeah, we want the decentralization. We want to take our time. You wonder if now, today, on a Saturday, they're all going, this is a terrible mistake. Let's fire this through.
Last night was just case in point.
I think last night was a catastrophe, but today has been pretty good.
It's been fine. It's a little slower
Without the clock on there, too. They're doing better on time without looking at the clock.
Yeah. They
like, how is that possible?
It's moved pretty well today. I'm impressed with that. You know, I started off the show with, if everything takes as long as last night, we'll be in here for 27 hours. So we've done good to avoid that level of snail's pace.
Our boss definitely did not have the idea of a radiothon when he put the three of us together.
No.
Not a shot. He's like, it'll be 4 hours, it'll be great. And we're sitting here going, 27-hour pace, let's go. Yeah,
I'm just
going
to have to sleep here until the morning show on Monday.
I've had to do that.
Oh,
yeah, there we go.
Throwing Sports Thunder around.
No one's even ready for it. Right. It just happens. Yeah, Owen, I had to sleep here during the Christmas storm a few years ago in your office.
Yes.
I remember that.
What was once the update booth. Then it became for a while the audio cutting booth for interns, which is when I was first here. Then it's now the audio or the video booth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But for 3 days there, it was my bedroom.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Went well. I mean, the floor is rough. I mean, I was hurting. Yeah, but
That carpet ain't too soft.
No. But you know what? It's going to be one of those things. It's like having a drink. It's going to put hair on your chest.
Yeah,
you show up on work Monday a different person afterwards.
Sabres are on the clock. Sabres are on the clock. 167. Look at that. Right. Talking about some carpet, and then we get them on the clock.
But there's always one team that slows the pace. You'll have three teams pick, and then we're up.
Yeah, we got to really think about this one.
We got to really think about it.
No, you don't.
Hammer BPA. Yeah. That's what it is at this point.
I am still waiting for another team to pull the greatest trick in the book ever, taking a fake person and seeing who notices it first.
Oh, yes.
The best thing the Sabres have ever done in their existence was taking a fake player.
Taro Tuimoto?
Yeah. Yes. Because they couldn't stand how the draft was operating.
I've been struggling because I want the jersey with that name on the back. And I don't want to pay for a custom one. Oh, to have that, though, you know?
That would be pretty cool.
That never was made. I get it because it's a fake person, but they thought he was real for a slight amount of time.
I want to know how long, though. Like, you know, there was someone in that room where they're like,
who is
that's
this
not
guy?
A real person.
Yeah, there's no way.
But they don't want to be the guy that says that because if they're wrong, they come off terribly. Yeah.
If you say that's
in
not
the 70s,
a...
though. So, like, you're. Oh, news is not traveling fast whatsoever. So,
right. Yeah,
I don't know the complete story, but I imagine it took a couple days for people to be like, "Wait a minute,
that's even better." The Sabres do select at 167. It is another center, Ashton Schultz. I can get that name and no problem.
Yes.
I was just gonna say we've got an easy name to pronounce, which is awesome.
Favorite pick of the draft for that reason,
right? So we have got Anton Schultz, is that right? Or Ashton Schultz.
Ashton Schultz.
About that. So, 5'11", 181 pounds, played last year for the Chicago Steel in the USHL. Unbelievable program down there in Chicago. I can tell you right now that they produce a lot of talent down there in Chicago. He is a really, really strong supporter of the puck. He's always there to help his teammates out and give him an option to get out of pressure. He's really good both offensively and defensively in that way. He's got a lot of talent along the wall. He's got nice contact balance, and he's an interesting – another one of these guys that's kind of a well-rounded 200-foot player that was ranked way higher than he's been picked here. I've got him at 83 for North American skaters and NHL Central Scouting.
Wow.
71 by Recruit Scouting and 75 by Dapper Prospects. This is a – guy that has really slid. I had him a lot higher on my board as well. In 57 games played last year for the Steel in the USHL, 14 goals, 25 assists, 39 points. That's pretty good production in the USHL for a 2006 born player. From Victoria, Minnesota. Right hand shot, just another, I think, real nice depth sort of addition to the prospect pool. I really like what they're doing here in terms of finding well-rounded players that can do a lot of everything. This is another guy that I think can play up and down a lineup. And the Steel, like I mentioned, they are a really, really high-level organization. They continue to pump out NHL picks, college players. He's committed to go to the University of North Dakota next year to play his college hockey.
I'll get you up. Okay.
So, you know, another nice ad for the Sabres down here at pick 167 for a guy that was ranked by a lot of people before 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's one thing we've always been able to kind of look at Kevin Adams and say as a positive his drafting acumen.
Yeah, I have not hated the scouting or drafting.
No, and you could say the prospect pool is depreciating now, right? It's just because they've hung on to him for too long and they haven't utilized
them. That's been more my issue, is they've hung on to guys maybe too long.
Right, but picking them, he's got an eye for them, and that front office in general does. So,
I'll never forget. Now assistant GM Jerry Fortin, I think that first draft, it literally being in tears because Adams let him and his staff work and then was listening to them.
Yeah, that and I think it's so important to have that level of collaboration in a room like that where you're making such big, impactful decisions, especially on something like the NHL draft. There's no way for Kevin Adams to know all 230 guys that are going to get picked today. Mm-hmm. It's just realistic. So you split it up and you trust the people that you have to do their jobs. And I do believe that is something that Adams does. He empowers the people he works with. So you got to give him credit for that. And you're right. They've drafted players that are attractive almost every year. Have they all worked out?
No,
obviously.
Welcome to drafting prospects.
Yeah, especially in the NHL.
Yep. Yeah, we've made that point all day today. There's no surefire guy. Mm-hmm. Especially outside of the first round, and now we're into round 6 and 7 here. You're taking shots on guys, so it's good to see that he's letting the people do their jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do like as well. I mean, North Dakota commit. I mean, I don't watch a ton of college hockey, but I do know you get a guy in a Minnesota, Dakota, or Boston area, you'll feel pretty darn good about what they're going to be doing at the college level.
Yeah, I mean, going from the Chicago Steel to the UND program is about the two best North America, junior American programs that you can go through.
Yeah.
The Chicago Steel are incredibly well-renowned, and so is the University of North Dakota. They are perennially great dream school. Building's incredible if you've ever been there.
Which is wild to hear about, North Dakota.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
I know, but that's what they got.
Yeah, that's what they do, baby.
It means a lot to them down there. So it's exciting. He'll have a good role on that team, and I'm excited to see where Schultz goes here.
These picks are flying off the board now. If you're watching this, keep looking up, and every second pretty much is just the graphic flipping to the next team. So things are moving.
We're at 173 now with Columbus. The Sabres don't pick again until round 7 at 195 overall, and then it's quick. 195, 199, 219 to wrap up today. Then we also will be hearing from Sabres general manager Kevin Adams once the draft wraps up. And then once Adams speaks, that'll do it for us as well. It's been a lot of fun. We still got about an hour or so probably left here. But with that, we're going to take a quick timeout. To wrap up this hour, you're listening to Day 2 coverage of the NHL Draft right here on WGR.